You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we will be talking with Carrie Gillen O'Neill about a recently published paper, How Sacrificing Sleep to Study Can Lead to Academic Problems. Many of us have children. Many of us act like children. What is happening when we stay up late to study? Does it translate to better grades, better testing? We're going to find out later in the show. The keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Cubic, will be on discussing how to write your own fitness training prescription. And we're using the word prescription for a reason. You're not going to want to miss the second hour of the show, I promise you. Okay, so let's get right to it. How are you doing, Carrie Gillen O'Neill?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
And thanks for being on so early in the morning. I know that you're in California, the place that everybody wants to be.
It is quite lovely here.
Yes, yes. Okay, so and you are with UCLA's Department of Psychology, correct?
Correct. Okay. I'm currently studying to get my PhD in developmental psychology at UCLA.
Very good. And you know what? People think of developmental psychology as being important because of children, but many of us are developing late in life, and a lot of the issues that we did not address when we're children have to be addressed later on in life. Is that a true statement?
Absolutely. And I think that developmental psychologists in general study change over time, and since there's a lot of change that happens early, a lot of developmental psychologists do study young children and children throughout their childhood, but developmental psychologists are interested in any change. So, and I think you're right, some change does happen even later.
If you're lucky. If not, you're in trouble. So anyway, all right, so let's talk about this study. First of all, why? What made you want to study the impact of sleep or the lack thereof on academic performance?
So we were really interested in getting a detailed picture of the daily lives of high school students and how they manage the various demands on their time. There's been some previous work that has shown that kind of on average, how much kids sleep overall is associated with their grades overall. But we really wanted to take a more daily approach and look at, you know, how they're making these choices on a daily basis and how their sleep and study time could affect their academic functioning day to day.
So instead of just leaving it up to the ubiquitous, we think that kids who aren't getting enough sleep are suffering academically when the lack of sleep is for a good reason, like staying up late and studying.
Right.
We wanted to explore that. Tell me about the design of the study. How was the study designed? Who participated? How did you get participants on board?
So we, again, were interested in high school students, and so we started in ninth grade. We went to three different high schools in the Los Angeles area, and we recruited ninth grade students from those high schools and invited them to participate in our study. And our methodology, we call it daily diary, but it's not like the kind of diary that you have, you know, a lock and you keep under your pillow. It's really just a checklist.
A log, yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So every night for 14 days, what these ninth grade students did was they just checked off real quick whether various things happened to them to that day, whether they did certain things, like did you help clean your apartment? Did you eat a meal with your family? How did you feel during the day? Were you tired? Were you happy? For this study, the specific questions from that checklist that we looked at were their sleep. How much sleep did you get the night before? Your study time. How much time did you study the night before? And then your academic functioning. So did you do poorly on a test, quiz, or homework today? And did you have any trouble understanding something that was taught in class today?
Were there any methods of correction for this? Because let's say anytime people are left on their own accord to log things for scientific research, we find that perception of right and wrong can impact the truthfulness of what they log. So if a child thinks that going to sleep too late is a wrong thing, they may fudge and say they went to sleep a half hour earlier than they really did. Any method of correction or any way to quantify whether or not the these children were being 100% accurate?
So we didn't have any kind of corrections like that. This definitely was, we did rely on the kids' self-report. But one of the strengths was that we relied on their self-report not just at one time. So it wasn't like we just had them sit down and say, okay, how much in general do you sleep? And I do feel like you're kind of prone to biases
yeah.
in that case, because you're like, oh, in general, yeah, I get about 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
But what we're doing here is we're asking you every single day, how much did you sleep last night? How much did you sleep last night? How much did you sleep
so
last night?
So did you have them log the time that they went to sleep and then in the morning log the time that they woke up so that you could calculate it yourself, basically? Or did you just have them calculate their own how many hours did you sleep?
We just asked them for the hours and
okay.
minutes. How much
okay.
did you sleep the night before?
Okay.
And so then they did that for 2 weeks. And so it is possible that there is some, you know, self-report bias, but the strength of the study is that we did that every single day, and all participants did that every single day. And then we actually followed them for 2 other years. So they did this in 9th grade. They did it again a year later in 10th grade. And then they did it again a year later in 12th grade.
Interesting. Now, were there any projections? So in other words, children who readily did not get enough sleep in 9th grade, were there any trends where they absolutely were even worse by 10th grade and then even worse by 11th grade?
We didn't break it down like that. Like, we didn't break down the kids like, okay, you're not getting enough sleep, you are getting enough sleep. What we did was look at averages overall. And so we did find that there was a longitudinal trend just in amount of sleep, such that by 12th grade, kids were getting about 41 minutes less sleep than they were getting in 9th grade. So they definitely were getting less sleep over the course of high school.
Were there any questions in the questionnaire or the log that would, or did you do any questionnaires prior to enrollment to ascertain perceptions about sleep? Like, one of the things that attracts children to smoking is they think it's cool and they think it makes them an adult. Were there any perceptions looked at about that, you know, sleep is, you know, going to sleep early is a child's thing, and when you're an adult, you get to stay up late?
Oh, that's interesting. No, we didn't ask there. The checklist is kind of very sort of factual, like, did you do this,
yeah.
did you not do this? And so we didn't look at their perceptions about what they were thinking about in terms of doing different things or the values of different things. But that is interesting, and that maybe could play into that longitudinal decline, but that goes beyond our data. We didn't
sure.
look at anything like
just
that.
Just curious. Before we're coming up on a break in about a minute and 40 seconds, so I want to hold out to the, when we come back from the break, to talk about the impact this style of staying up late and whether it's studying or not studying has on academic performance. But you raised an interesting point a moment ago about the tired and happy. Did you notice anything, the children who were getting less sleep, did they tend to be grumpier and have a lack of, what's the word I'm looking for, a sense of wellness or
mm-hmm.
happiness about them?
So that isn't something that we looked at in this study, but my advisor, Dr. Fellini, has done previous studies, and that's absolutely something that he has found, that on nights when you get less sleep than what you typically get, so again, that's kind of one of the powers of this design, is that we're not comparing a 5-hour kid to a 7-hour kid.
Right.
We're looking at each kid individually and saying, okay, you're a 7-hour kid, but what happens on a night when you get 6 hours? What happens on a night when you get 8 hours? And we do find, when we look at it that way, Dr. Fellini in previous research has found that when kids get more sleep, they do tend to feel happier, have, you know, kind of a more positive outlook on life.
You know, consistency and regularity play a very, very large role in homeostasis in the organism, the human body. And it just makes perfect sense that if a child gravitates to, like my oldest son, he used to go to bed on his own. I mean, we would be sitting there and I would look around and go, where's Chase? And I would go up in his room and he'd be in bed asleep. And he's always been a really great sleeper, and he, you know, wakes up, he always woke up happy. And so when a person finds that niche, and you probably find it when you're pretty young, when you're not being influenced by other things like peers and expectations and so on. So when you find that, it seems that an adherence to that is more important, perhaps, than oh, well, I have to sleep 8 hours, or I have to sleep. You have to sleep the amount of time that your body needs you to sleep.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing that this study found, was regardless of how much you typically study in a day, if you are studying more than average, and if that extra study time is cutting into your sleep, that's when you have academic problems the next day.
Okay.
So it's that kind of daily trade-off.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on that note. We're talking with Carrie Gillen-O'Neill about the impact that sleep impairment has on academic performance on your children, your high school students especially. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping. Too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Carrie Gillen-O'Neill. And we're talking about the impact that the lack of sleep has on academic performance. And now we're going to talk about even when that lack of sleep is precipitated by additional studying, which one would think Carrie, that you know, putting in extra hours in studying would have an overall beneficial effect on academic performance. So what did you find out in the study?
Definitely, and I want to stress that overall, that is absolutely true. If on average you are doing more studying, if you're the kind of kid who's studying 2 hours a night, you are probably going to do a lot better in school than the kind of kid who's studying 1 hour a night or half an hour a night. But the key that our study found was the regularity of that schedule. That's really important. Because if you are that kid who's studying 1 hour a night, that's great. But if there's a big test the next day and you decide, you know what, I need to study even more because more studying is good, that could also be great. But if that extra study time that you put in that night cuts into your sleep, that's when we see the problems. And so it's that trade-off between study and sleep on this daily level, where more studying, if it comes at the expense of sleep, can actually cause more problems for you the next day.
So in other words, it's not that you won't get anything from that particular study session. That particular study session could actually detract from your overall ability to perform, as opposed to just having a net effect of zero. It could actually have a net effect of minus something.
Absolutely. If you have extra study time, if that study time cuts into your sleep, the next day you're more likely to say that you did poorly on a test or quiz or homework, and you're more likely to say that you didn't understand something that's taught in class. So it actually is a negative effect, which was something that was really surprising to us. But again, that negative effect of the study time is completely explained by the fact that it cut into the sleep time. So it's not that the extra study time was bad, it's that the study time came at the expense of your sleep time.
So bottom line is that this, and we know, we've actually done shows years ago about memory consolidation. Memory consolidation actually occurs at night when you sleep. The way you may run a defrag program on your hard drive from time to time to get everything that's kind of scattered all over the hard drive into a nice cluster, the brain does the same thing at night during sleep. In fact, REM sleep appears to have some role in that memory consolidation.
Absolutely.
So we know that kids have to get up the same time every morning, and this is something that we should address right now. It's if the child went to sleep late and slept later into the morning, could there possibly be a different effect than if the child ends up sleeping, working late, and then still has to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning, so they're actually truncating the amount of time that they spend sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Okay, so the average high school student probably gets up at 6 a.m. in the morning,
sure.
Let's say, catch a bus to be at school at maybe 7:30 a.m., let's
right.
say. Okay. So if they burn the midnight oil, and they end up with 2 hours or an hour and a half of less sleep, as opposed to someone who has control on what time they get up in the morning. They just sleep later in the morning to make up for that lost time. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and I think that could be helpful because the actual amount of time that you're sleeping is important. But something that you mentioned earlier, which is also important that we know from, not from our study, but from other research, is the regularity of schedules are important too. So, you know, it is really helpful for everyone to go to bed at a similar time, to wake up at a similar time.
Consistency.
In addition to the actual amount of time that you're getting. Kind of both of those things are important.
Now, you actually cited a couple studies in your paper that spoke to the benefits of kind of regular studying over a long period of time and the accrual of memory, if you will, of the work. So do you have any information about that we can just so parents understand, you know, it's really important that your child study at the same time every day, and even the surroundings. I remember reading something years ago about studying in the same locations and so on every day. Can you speak about that at all, or are you aware of any of the mechanics of that?
I definitely know the research in terms of it's called masked practice, which would just be one kind of marathon study session, versus spaced practice, which would be smaller study sessions spaced out over a period of time.
Okay.
And the research is pretty clear that, you know, if you're going to have 4 hours, if it takes you 4 hours to learn something, or you're going to spend 4 hours studying something, for example, if you do those 4 hours as spaced practice, where you do 1 hour a day, You're going to learn and retain a lot more than if you did math practice, you know, for 4 hours a day. And I feel like that just makes sense with, you know, everything in our life, right? If you're going to exercise for 4 hours, doing it an hour a day, you're going to get a lot more benefit than doing maybe a big 4 hour chunk. Because our body, we get fatigued. We don't, you know, we don't learn like that. We don't work like that.
Okay. How did you ascertain performance levels in these children to determine that they were being impacted by eating into sleep time?
So it was just those two daily measures where every day we asked them, did you do poorly on a test or quiz or homework today? And did you have difficulty understanding something in class today? And so that was it, just a very simple kind of two self-report measures, but we asked them that every single day for 2 weeks over the course of 3 years of high school. So a total of 6 weeks spread out over three different years.
Wow. And so, and you know, that, and that makes perfect sense because they would self-report if they had difficulty understanding a concept or if they had, they did poorly on a test, and you see that the night before, is this cumulative? In other words, if a child spends the night before a test eating into sleep time,
mm-hmm.
is the impact X? And if they do that three nights in a row, the impact is three times X?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. We just looked at a one-day effect. So we just looked at what happened yesterday, predicting what's going to happen today. We didn't do kind of what you're describing, which are lagged effects or kind of multiplicative effects. One thing, so I don't know, unfortunately. One thing that we did do, though, since we did have this longitudinal design where we were looking at kids in 9th grade, 10th grade, and 12th grade, we did look at the effect in each year of high school. And we did find that the effect is much stronger as the years of high school progress. So in 12th grade, cutting into your sleep time has an even stronger effect on damaging your academic performance than it did in 10th grade, which is even stronger than it was in 9th grade.
Now, that's interesting. I wonder if that is cumulative. In other words, the foundational information that you didn't really grasp in 9th grade because you were cutting into your sleep then becomes multiplied in 10th grade because you're now impaired on building these memory processes on already impaired memory processes. You know, does that make sense at all? You know, it's like,
yeah. Another possibility is also just that 12th graders are sleeping less.
Uh-huh.
So they're kind of, you know, we know that all high school students on average seem to be kind of sleep deprived. They're not getting as much sleep as they need, but that gets even worse over the course of high school. So at 12th grade, when you're cutting into your sleep time, it's already a pretty scarce resource to begin with.
What were the ranges of sleep durations that you saw in 9th graders? From how many hours a night to how many hours a night?
You know, I don't have the ranges here in front of me. We do know that on average they were sleeping about 7.5 hours a night, and then the standard deviation around that was 1 hour. So, you know, anywhere from 6.5 to 8.5, but that's not the full range. That's just,
right.
You know, plus or minus.
That's
one
the median. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 10th grade, they were averaging less than 7.6 or 7.5?
They went down to 7.4 mm-hmm. hours per night, same standard deviation. And then by 12th grade, the average was actually just under 7 hours. So they were at 6.9
wow.
Hours per night. And there are much better studies of actual sleep time. You know, they're actually like nationally representative averages of sleep time,
mm-hmm.
and ours wasn't that. But these numbers jive with what those big studies have found, that sleep time does tend to go down across the course of high school, and that kids are getting way less than what researchers think that their bodies need.
And I understand that the diary that you were using was purposefully limited so that, you know, you gather just the pertinent information for the study. But I'm just curious if there was any area for kids to write in comments as to why they found themselves having to stay up later at night to study the night before a test. Because I'm very suspicious about the modern American child who has all of these extracurricular activities between, you know, soccer and then Kumon math and field hockey, and then they don't get home until 7 or 8
mm-hmm.
o'clock at night, and then they have a 2 hours worth of homework and studying to do. They're just getting home at 8. They have to eat.
Then they get to, they're not even done studying by 10:30,
right.
You know, and then it's like, why are we doing this to our children is a plaintive wail of mine right now. But were you able to gather any of that information? Why were these children staying up so late to study?
We didn't ask them any kind of open-ended free response because we wanted to keep this thing, you know, since they're doing 14 of them, you know, really quick. So it was really just check, 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 did these things happen or not? And that is a limitation of our study, that we only looked at these two demands on kids' time. They're studying and they're sleeping, two things that occupy a lot of their time. But you're right, there's a lot more demands that they have. Some kids have work. Some kids have extracurriculars. Some kids have, you know, demands at home where they have to help out around the house. And so that would be a really interesting kind of future study to look at how kids are managing multiple demands on their time, not just these two.
I'll tell you what would really be interesting to add to this study. Okay? But it's going to be really, really hard to do this, I predict.
Okay?
And that would be something to ascertain some metabolic changes in these children. I would love to see fasting blood sugar levels of these children on every day for the week, including the day that they eat into 2 hours of sleep time. Because mm-hmm. I predict what you will find is that on the days that they are not getting adequate sleep, they are having difficulty managing blood sugar levels.
Right.
I'm willing to bet lunch at one of the finer restaurants in Los Angeles. Okay. I really believe this.
You will be very interested in a few years when the results of Dr. Fellini's next study come out, because in the study that I'm actually not involved in this study, so I don't know a lot about it, but he is starting to look at not blood sugar, but stress hormones in kids' bodies, and he's having them wear wristwatches that are actigraphs that measure their movement during sleep, so we can get a really detailed and accurate estimate of how much they're sleeping. And so he is looking at linking sleep time to some of these other kind of more
I wish he would add fasting blood sugar levels in the morning, or even periodic, because you can get that wristwatch also that measures blood sugar levels. But the reason I say that is because he's on the right track. Looking at cortisol levels and adrenal hormones that are stress responsive are critical. But what we have to understand about these from a metabolic standpoint is what the role of these hormones do. Cortisol elicits glucagon. Glucagon elicits glucose to be released into the bloodstream by the liver. Cortisol is a precipitator of high blood sugar levels, even in the absence of postprandial carbohydrate consumption. So we know that if you're highly stressed, generally you have higher resting blood sugar levels, and there's this tug of war that goes on all day long with your adrenals trying to maintain those levels. So I wish that he would consider a way to look at blood sugar levels in these children, because that, I predict, is where the lagging brain function, the moodiness, the sadness, or the, you know, whatever their mood issues are when they don't get enough sleep, I predict it's metabolic, really. It really is. But anyway, all right, look, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. We're talking with Carrie Gillen O'Neill from UCLA about their recent study looking at children's sleep patterns and how it affects their academic performance, even when they're staying up late and studying. To the parents out there, get your kids home early, for crying out loud. They're not going to get a scholarship playing, soccer in most cases. You know, let them be kids, for crying out loud. Remember when we were kids? I do. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
you. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Carrie, what on average, how long do ninth graders study, according to the diaries that you received in the study?
Across all years of high school, kids are studying about an 1 hour a night on average.
Yeah,
so that actually doesn't change.
That, you know, that's what we did when we were kids. I mean, I'm 54 years old. When I came home from school, I spent about an hour doing homework and studying, and then I was out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much still the same.
But the thing about that is the average. I think if everyone was spending an hour every night, we'd probably be fine. But there's a lot of daily variation around that average. So sometimes some kids are doing just a few minutes, and then other nights they're doing multiple hours, right? And so that's kind of where the problem comes in.
You know, we've done so many shows on the impact of sleep, both healthy amounts of sleep and how they lead to healthy people, and how inadequate amounts of sleep and interrupting the normal circadian rhythm leads to disease, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just can't bang the drum of the importance of sleep often enough in a current society that actually puts a lot of stock in not having to sleep a lot. You know,
right.
I have friends that brag, well, I only need 3 hours of sleep. And I say to myself quietly, yeah, you only need 3 hours of sleep until you hit 45 and you're completely insulin dependent.
Right.
You know, so with that being, you know, said here, can we extrapolate out from the research that you did with high schoolers on out to college students?
That's a really good question. I don't know, since we just looked at high school students, but you know, I would imagine that the process would be similar. One thing that what you were just saying made me think of was that I think it's really important for kids to know the results of a study like this, because, you know, regardless of what their feelings about sleep are in general, I think they do know that sleep is important, that they should be getting it. But then when this night comes to them, is facing them, and they have all this homework to do that night, you know, the reason why they cut into their sleep, the reason why they sacrifice their sleep, is because they think they want to do well in school, right? And they think that, oh, I have to pull an all-nighter, I have to cram tonight so that I can do well on this test tomorrow. And so they're making that choice consciously, thinking that it's going to help them do well in school.
Right.
And so, but actually, yes, studying more is great, but not if it comes at the expense of your sleep. Not if you're having to do it all in one night and you're, you know, pulling an all-nighter. That's actually not just not effective, it's actually counterproductive. You're going to do worse in school the next day. And so I think it's important for kids to know that, to help them. You know, they have so many demands. They have to make these choices on a daily basis, but, you know, they're making this choice thinking that it's actually going to be helpful for their academic performance, when in fact it's not.
Did you share the results of this study with any of the study participants?
You know, we haven't yet. That is something that we offer to schools, to come and to, you know, to do a presentation. These particular student participants are long gone from high school. You know, these data were collected a few years ago. But, you know, I think that's what we're doing now with the press releases and doing interviews like this, trying to get the message out to parents and families that, and to kids, that studying more is great, but, you know, only if you can do it on a regular schedule, and only if you can keep it from interfering with the sleep that you need.
I have to believe that the participants of this study, as they were doing the, you know, entering into the box, you know, yeah, I didn't understand something today. Yeah, I did bad on a test. And then they look back and they go, oh, and I went to bed 2 hours later than normal yesterday. I have to believe some of them kind of got it. But that's why I asked if there was any way to quantify what their attitudes about sleep were. Because I have this sneaky suspicion from being a kid myself one time. Long time ago, that one of the perks of being an adult is being able to stay up late.
Right.
I remember the first time I stayed up all night, I was so excited that I was going to stay up all night. I thought I was going to see wizards. You know, I thought, oh, there's got to be something that goes on late at night when they put me to bed, after they put me to bed, because otherwise they wouldn't stay up. My parents, I mean, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so I have a funny feeling that children's perception of sleep is that when you are an adult, you don't have to go to sleep early anymore. And so that may be skewing some of their decision making. What would you say to parents now that you know what you know about the impact of staying up late for studying, to help them develop strategies to help their children?
Yeah, I think the regularity is key. And so to not let the study schedule just be dictated by the due date, you know, like, okay, you have something due on Friday, Thursday night is not the time to start that. And, of course, parents know that, and kids know that too. But to really try to be proactive about it and, you know, let's do this out. You know, you're doing an hour on average, but let's try and do that every night at about the same time. And if there is a situation where, you know what, there's this big project, it just isn't done yet, I have to put in some extra time tonight, let's try and get that extra time in without sacrificing sleep. So, you know, maybe hopefully you have a flexible work schedule that, you know, if the kids are have a job, maybe they can switch their hours to another day, or if they have a lot of demands around the home, maybe they can do those on the following day. So to try and, if there is a time, you know, if you can't maintain this perfectly regular schedule throughout the week, if there is a day when, you know, we just have to get this done, there has to be extra study time today, to try and cut into other activities that aren't sleep and that don't necessarily need to be done that day.
I like
that. Put off.
And I want to talk about that for a second. To the parents out there who have their children involved in extracurricular activities, whether it's because it allows you to stay at work later, which I understand, you know, there's lots of single parents out there. Maybe the best idea isn't necessarily to have your child doing after school soccer, but instead, if they have to stay at school, let them stay at school and get their homework and their studying done, so that when they get home, they can have dinner and prepare for bed.
Mm-hmm.
This notion that your child
must be engaged every second of the day. I'm telling you, you know, it's funny. And psychology, and I say this with all deference to you and your colleagues, okay? Because I know nothing. I have no accreditations. I have nothing after my name. And so therefore I can say whatever I want and no one can threaten to take anything away from me. But with that being said, psychology is like baking bread. And if you get to the bakery too early, you're going to end up with doughy bread. The key is to grab a hold of concepts when they have had time to bake long enough to prove to be accurate. And I predict, like pendulums that swing from the far left to the far right, trying to find the middle, that the middle ground is not to have your child be an overachiever. Don't try to teach your child to read at 6 months old. Don't fill your child's day with every blasted thing you can, thinking that they're going to become superhumans because what they're going to become is burnt out at 12 years old. You know, if your child, if study is important and school and academics are important, make that the priority and everything else takes second place. If your child has to study every night, an hour and a half, don't make them come home at 8 o'clock at night and start studying. That is just ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, back up on the, you know, soccer and field hockey and everything else. And let your child study and have some downtime. You know, we've done shows about the importance of contemplation, you know, about sitting back and visualizing your life and having, you know, kind of just sitting there in the silence, how important that is for the brain. So we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you, first of all, what you learned from this study that was a surprise to you, something that perhaps you didn't expect to learn. And then also just in your words, what you want the audience to take away from the study. We're talking with Carrie Gillen O'Neill from UCLA Department of Psychology. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear hear their name a lot. As an introductory offer, get 5 pounds of Pure Whey Protein Isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Super Charger immediately.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
And on the cool check-in.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Brooks Kubik will come on, keeper of the flame of physical culture. This morning when I was driving into the studio, I was listening to the Diane Reams show, which I love to listen to on NPR. And they had a gentleman on there named Richard Williams, who is a former employee of the FDA, and he was talking about how dangerous raw, unpasteurized milk is and how food safety procedures are protecting people. And I posted on the Diane Reams website this morning about how that's all blasted lies. That it wasn't until 1858 when the distilleries started to produce milk that they started to poison people with swill milk because cows are not designed to eat corn and grain. You know, it just amazes me that this lie continues to precipitate. As a civilization, we have thrived on unpasteurized raw milk for thousands of years. And the people just don't ask the right questions. No one asks, well, gee, how did we get into the 1800s when people started dying from raw milk without dying from raw milk? It just frustrates me. It continues to frustrate me. Okay, I'm sorry about that, Carrie. I had to digress there. One of my soapboxes. Okay, so what did you learn from this study that kind of surprised you? Anything?
Well, definitely that negative association between that extra study time and the academic functioning. You know, we thought that cramming, like spending more hours studying in a particular night, might not be as beneficial as students thought, but we were really surprised to see that it was actually harmful, that there was actually a negative association there. We went back and triple-checked our numbers to make sure that we hadn't entered something wrong, but that was actually there, that if you spend more time than usual on a particular night, you do worse the next day. Of course, that was kind of an illusory correlation. Like, it's not actually the extra study time that's hurting you. It's the fact that in high school, that extra study time is tending to take away from your sleep time.
And sleep is so important. You know, we had sleep special. I'm trying to think. Dr. Mark Rosekind did my show about 5 or 6 years ago, and he was the consultant for the U.S. Olympic team. He actually goes in and sets up their sleeping quarters for them so that we know that they're getting, you know, quality sleep.
Oh, that's interesting.
And quality sleep plays a big role in this question. That's kind of an unknown right now with this group as well.
Yeah.
Will you be looking at the quality of sleep in any future studies?
That's part of that next study that I was talking about a little earlier that Dr. Fellini is working on with those actigraphs with the wristwatch. You can get an estimate of quality because you can see, you know, they were in bed, they were sleeping, but they were moving around a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a limitation of this study since we were just looking at hours. We don't know how well they were sleeping, but in future studies, that's definitely something that we'll be able to look at.
As a psychology major, I would imagine that you're aware of the linkage between inadequate amounts of sleep in young adults and anxiety, right?
I'm not familiar with that literature, actually.
There is a linkage to inadequate amounts of sleep to anxiety as well as mood swings. And then the reason I say this is because I keep trying to drive home that maybe you can get in Dr. Fellini's ear and say maybe we should check their blood sugar levels. Because if you look at hypoglycemia, subclinical hypoglycemia, the earliest symptoms are anxiety and mood swings.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, I just feel like if they would look at blood sugar levels, that would really give a snapshot of why these symptoms precipitate and why these children have problems accessing areas of their brain for information, because we know that the brain depends on glucose. And when you are hypoglycemic, the brain panics and it's like, I don't care. I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm thinking about how I can get more sugar right now.
Right.
And so it'd be interesting if they would add that to the mix. Okay, so future study, that you're not working on that one with Dr. Fellini, but are you working on any future studies right now?
I'm actually completely changing directions from, well, not totally. I mean, the theme that goes through all of my work is academic achievement and kind of what helps kids do well. And so this study was, you know, looking at those daily choices with study and sleep time. For my dissertation, I'll be looking at stereotypes, actually, and if kids are aware, I'm looking at younger kids, if they're aware of maybe negative stereotypes that there are about their groups, like mm-hmm. that girls aren't good at math or that certain ethnicities aren't good at certain subjects, if they are aware of those stereotypes, does that, you know, make them feel more anxious in school?
That's a really good, I mean, listen, just the when I was a kid, being smart was not a cool thing. Today it kind of is. You know, we've praised smart people enough now where kids are like, well, I want to be smart. But when I was growing up, being smart wasn't a cool thing. It made you a dork.
Mm.
So there was a stereotype that a lot of us got caught in, and most of us didn't want to raise our hands and act smart because we didn't want somebody after school going, oh, check out Lenore over there, you know, thinks he knows everything.
Exactly.
So obviously stereotypes play a large role. Have you seen any of the literature? It's very old, but have you seen any of the literature on learning and hyperoxia?
No, I haven't.
Really interesting. When students are supplied just marginally oxygen-enriched air, their ability to learn and remember is dramatically increased.
Hmm.
And that would lead me to believe that teaching kids to breathe deeply when in school, when taking a test, and so on, may have some minor effects on them.
Could be helpful.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's interesting.
Listen, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and talking about this. This is really important stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Take care.
Okay.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Brooks Kubik on. And Brooks has an interesting discussion today. Actually, we kind of came up with it together. And that is how to write your own fitness training prescription. Prescription being the key word. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and
click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad, start enjoying dessert again. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
NASA.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm now joined by the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Carl, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Today's show is called How to Write Your Own Fitness Training Prescription. We use the word prescription for a reason. When your doctor writes you a prescription to take one of these pills every single day, hopefully you throw that kind of prescription away, you don't just think to yourself, I'm going to take two on Wednesday and three on Thursday and none on Friday. You follow the prescription. And quite often, many of us, we know the right thing to do. We know how to set up our own training, but we don't do it, and we don't do it in a prescriptive manner. Would you agree with that statement, Brooks?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And if people did treat their training like it was a prescription, wouldn't they make better progress?
Once again, there's one-word response, absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about creating this prescription for yourself. From the standpoint, let's first talk about the tools that we have to prescribe. We've kind of talked about some of these things in the past. We're going to do it all in one show right now. First of all, the numbers of days in a week that you train. That's the first part of your prescription. And whatever you write for yourself, you have to stick to. You can't go, I feel like training on Wednesday, but I'm not supposed to train on Wednesday. I'm going to go in anyway. That's the whole idea of creating a prescription in order to seek progress. The total number of days that you train, give me some of the reasons and routine options for the number of days to train. Are there single once a week training regimens out there?
Yeah, you can train once a week, you can train twice a week, you can train three times a week, very successfully. And, you know, as long as you're doing some kind of divided or split style workout, you can experiment with 4 or 5 or perhaps even 6 days a week. Now, having said that, let me throw out some cautions and caveats real quickly. You know, when your doctor prescribes, to take Carl's analogy, when your doctor prescribes one pill a day, you don't go home and take six. And if he says, take one on Monday and one on Wednesday and one on Friday, you don't go in and take them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You follow the prescription.
Right.
Most people will do amazingly well training 3 days a week. If they're beginners, those can be 3 total body workouts where they do one exercise for each major muscle group, total of maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 exercises, 10 exercises. Beginners should stick to one set each, very easy, very light, take things easy and gradually and slowly make progress. That's one way of doing it. It's a very effective way of doing it. As you advance, you often end up getting so strong that you can't recover from a full body workout three times a week. So you divide your program up. And traditionally that was dividing it up into what was called a split routine, where you would do, for example, upper body on Monday, lower body on Tuesday, or you would do the torso muscles on Monday, the arms and shoulders on Tuesday, legs and back on Wednesday. You know, we're all familiar with these various split programs. The problem with the split programs is that you never have a day off. You never have time for recovery and recuperation. And even though you're working different muscle groups, you're still working the systems in the body that cause muscle growth, cause gains in strength and power and muscle mass, and you need to give those systems time to do their job. So what I recommend, and what I've always had great success with in my own training, is a divided workout schedule where you take maybe 6, 8, 10, 12 different exercises, and you create three different workouts. Workout A, workout B, and workout C. And workout A is on Monday, workout B is on Wednesday, workout C is on Friday. Or you can use Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. It doesn't matter. But the point is, you train in three times a week, but each workout is completely different, and each workout hits different exercises. Cumulatively, they have a tremendous growth-stimulating effect, and the growth-stimulating effect is actualized and maximized because you've got those 4 days of rest in there. The other thing you can do, of course, is if you want on the rest days, if you want to do some cardio, or if you practice martial arts or sports or something, those are the days that you fit that kind of thing in. So different ways to do it. Sorry, that was a long answer.
No, that was good.
A short question.
No, that was good. But now here's my question to you.
Okay.
I've started to experiment. I like whole body routines, especially when part of the equation is to become leaner. I find that when I train my whole body, my metabolic rate jumps dramatically throughout the rest of the day. Now, I have been doing something, experimenting with something, that I like to call concentration training. Concentrated training time and concentrated rest time. I kind of feel that a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the Tuesday, Thursday time off just doesn't do it for me. However, what I've been experimenting with is between 3 and 5 days of training. So let's look at the 3 day. I trained today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, entire body. Very heavy Tuesday, very heavy Wednesday. 2 sets per body part. That's back, chest, shoulders, legs. I have to do actually a few movements because I do a leg press, a leg curl, leg extension. So that's 3 different movements for the legs, but they are a big body part. And then arms separately. And then if I want to touch up on something, my left shoulder, you know, my calves or something like that, I'll touch up at the very, very end of this workout. But I'll do this workout 3 days in a row, starting out when I'm freshest with the heaviest amount of weight and the greatest amount of volume. Okay? The next day, I will generally use slightly lighter weight and the same amount of volume. And then today I went in and I used the heavy weight that I usually use, but less volume. And this is where this whole notion for prescription came in. I wrote my... I hearkened back to the days that when I first started training. When I first started training, I kept a diary. And when I kept a diary, I remember in the morning I would look, okay, so if it was back day, I would look at my previous back workout and I would say, okay, I remember really being strong in this movement. I'm going to add 1 rep to it. I remember that by the time I got to this movement here, I was pretty tired. I'm going to leave it the same. And this is how I prescribed for myself that morning what my workout would be. When I went into the gym, I did that workout. When I got to the 8th rep, and my prescription was 8 reps in that particular movement, I stopped, even if I thought that I could get another rep out, because I also believed in this notion of leave something in the tank for the next time. Don't push into fatigue, push right up to it. And so that prescription approach allowed me to make great progress. I abandoned it. Well, now I'm using it again, but I'm using it in this concentration approach. So I train for 3 days, and I write my prescription before I get to the gym, and I follow my prescription explicitly the way it is. And then I'm going to take 2 to 3 days off, most likely 3 days off, and then I'm going to come back again and start another 3 day on. So I'm doing 3 days on, 3 days off, but I'm doing entire body. So over the course of a week, I'm hitting each body part with a great deal more volume and a great deal more work than I would had I done a split training and given it a week off. What are your thoughts on this approach?
Well, if you're doing a bodybuilding style program,
I don't think this is a bodybuilding style program.
Well, it's bodybuilding as opposed to Olympic weightlifting or powerlifting.
Okay.
It's you know, what you're doing is more of a power bodybuilding thing.
Yes, because I'm really trying to affect metabolic changes in my body.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it is an interesting approach, and you know, you're obviously, you know, we were talking this morning, you've been having great success with it. And you know, one of the cardinal rules is if something's working, stay with it. And the interesting thing, two interesting things. You are doing something that worked in the past, and you've thought back, you said, gee, you know, I used to do that, I got away from it, I'm going to go back and do it again, which is, you know, a very analytical approach, very good way to do things. The other thing that strikes me here, and I'm going to hold for a second the whole idea of the prescription, but the other thing is affecting metabolic changes.
Yeah.
And that is the key. That is absolutely the key to triggering truly significant gains in strength, in power, in muscle mass, in getting lean, in improving your health. You know, pretty much anything that you want from a physical training program, it starts with that metabolic change. And what you're doing is really interesting. You're hitting the body and you're triggering those changes, and then you're hitting it again and triggering those changes, and then you're hitting it again and triggering those changes, and then you're resting.
For three consecutive days.
Yeah. And it probably is giving you an enhanced metabolic response. It's a very, very interesting approach.
Well, you know what this arose from, Brooks? Hmm. Sometimes we look at the science of everything, but we forget what we know. You know, I looked at my father, who was a truck driver, and he and I said this the other day with Rob Regish on the show, so I apologize for repeating it. But, you know, he lifted heavy boxes and put them on a truck. He drove them someplace, and he lifted those heavy boxes and took them off the truck. He did that 5 days a week. He couldn't go to his boss, look, I need to take off Tuesday and Thursday to recover from the work I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, first of all, the body adapts. However, the body adapts because he also paced himself. He did things in a way. When we know we have work to do, we don't go, how can I fatigue myself the fastest, which is what we do in bodybuilding. So what I'm doing here and what my current prescription is, and I stick to it, when I write my plan out in the morning, I take into account I have already hit these body parts once already. So what am I going to do differently today to give my body a little bit of a break but still stimulate some changes? And then on the third day, I say, okay, I've hit these body parts twice in a row so far. So what am I willing to give today but still get in there? So I knew I couldn't do the weight and the volume that I did day one, but I knew I could do the weight, so I did less volume. Day two, I knew that I could probably do the volume that I did, but not necessarily the weight, so I lightened up on the weight. And so there is a certain, in order to write a prescription, you have to have some basic information about yourself and what you think your limitations are. Just because you write it doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it. You do have to have the ability from years of training to know, well, chances are I won't be able to do this same exact workout 3 days in a row, or maybe I can, but I'm just going to just destroy myself. And this is why the prescription is so important, by the way. When I look at the years I made great progress, I stuck to what I wrote. When I look at the years that I started to really destroy myself, I felt so strong, I went in and trained every single session to failure. That's when my body started coming apart for me. So now I'm looking at it like, you know what? I can make progress by working the prescription approach and just staying 2 feet back behind fatigue and destruction. So this is what I'm doing right now. But this is why I think taking the approach of writing your training a plan out and sticking to it is really so critical. And so many people abandon it. They write things down, or they have an idea what they want to do, and then they get in there. Somebody else is doing something. They want to show off. So they go heavier than they really needed to, or they want to push themselves for whatever reason. Oh, I think I feel it. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to get stronger if you stick to your plan. You'll probably get stronger for a little while if you don't stick to your plan, but then you're going to hit a wall really hard. Thoughts on that?
Well, the thing that is jumping out as we're having this conversation is that, you know, to me, this is like breathing. I mean, of course I keep a detailed training journal. Of course I look at it after my workout, and I figure out what I'm going to do the next time I train.
Right.
And then before I train, I sit down and I go back and, you know, I look over the last couple of weeks. I usually have several different workouts. As I said, I like workout A, workout B, workout C. And often I have variations of them where the exercises are the same in workout A. But there's two, you know, workout A has one set of exercises. But one time when I do it, I may go heavier and have less volume. Another day, I may go a bit lighter and have greater volume. And I do that in workout A, workout B, and workout C. So really, I almost have six workouts going. And I look back through my journal, and I track them all. And, you know, when I sit down and I look at what I'm doing, if it's workout C, heavy weight, I go back and I look at the last time I did that. But I also look at the last workout C and when I did it with the increased volume. You know, so I'm always comparing these things and looking and seeing where does this workout fit in, figuring out where I'm going, and then I go out and I do what I have scheduled myself to do.
And that's the critical key here.
And like so many people don't do that. It's absolutely astonishing.
Or they, you know what? They take their diary in with them and they do the movements that they know they're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
but they don't build their prescription based on the performance of the last session of those movements.
Yeah, the prescription is progression. You know, you're doing this because the goal is to be progressing. But, and this is the point you were alluding to earlier, you don't necessarily have to try to, you know, take, you don't try to jump from here to London.
No, it's incremental.
And the incremental, yes.
The increments are the key thing here. All right, yes. Let's do that. Let's take a break and let's build on that. When we come back, let's talk about the increments that people need to look at when designing their own training prescription. We're talking with Brooks Cubic, keeper of the flame of physical culture. Go to Brooks Cubic, KUBIK.com today. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today. And do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're doing the show today from a ship out in the harbor. Sounds like it, didn't it?
It does. It does. Are you dressed like Stephen Colbert?
Yeah. Actually, I am. I like him. He's funny. All right. So welcome back. We're talking with Brooks Cubic. We're talking about how to write your own prescription for your fitness training sessions. The key word here being prescription. And I had a thought I want to share. Let's go ahead and talk more about this idea of incremental and increments and what are realistic increments. Talk a little bit about that, Brooks.
Okay. Well, a lot of people think that they will make progress faster if they increase as much as they can in every workout. And so, for example, let's say somebody is trying to increase the bench press. He does 10 pounds more than he was scheduled to do, and he says, oh, this is great, terrific. Next workout, he does another 10 pounds more. Workout after that, throws another 10 pounds on the bar. And the workout after that, he usually misses horribly. He is weak. He is fatigued. He might hurt himself.
He is confused.
and the problem is he's gone too fast, and he's gotten to the point where he's overtrained himself, and his body just shuts down and says, okay, stop. We're not going to do this anymore. No more gains in strength, no more gains in muscle, no more recovery from soreness. You're going to be too stiff, too sore, too tired, too weak, and you're just not going to lift this. And what he did was he got greedy. And every time you get greedy, that's what happens. And this is nothing new. Arthur Saxon wrote about this well over 100 years ago, and he called it the bugbear of training. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
Bugbear, yeah, overtraining. And The old-timers always talked about staleness. They talked about going stale. And really what they meant was, you know, going too far, too fast, too hard, too often, and overtraining. And so they were very careful to come up with progression systems that kept you from doing that. And the way to do it, very simply, is to control what you are doing. So, for example, in the original York Barbell Company courses, I'm going to throw these out, even though this is sort of a beginner's way of training, but it illustrates the point perfectly. You start out, you do, let's take a simple example, military press. Let's say somebody starts out and they can do 50 pounds for 6 reps, okay?
Okay.
So in the first workout, they do military press, 50 pounds, 6 times. In the next workout, they do military press, 50 pounds, 7 times. And in the workout after that, they do it 8 times, and then 9, and then 10, and then 11, and then 12. And at 12, they've doubled the initial rep count. They've gone from 6 to 12. In the workout after that, they put 5 or 10 pounds on the bar, so they move up from 50 to 55 or 50 to 60. And frankly, a 5-pound jump would be better. They drop back to 6, and they build back up. And what you're doing is you're progressing 1 rep a session. And that is called single progression. Now, they had something else called double progression. Double progression slowed things down a little bit. And interestingly, Bob Hoffman said double progression for many people is actually better. And it's particularly better for people who have trouble gaining, for older guys, for people getting back into it, for guys who are really out of shape, for hard gainers. He said it was actually better to do the double progression because it gave more time to affect those metabolic changes that you were talking about in the first segment on today's show. Double progression is this. Your first workout, 50 pounds, 6 reps. Second workout, 50 pounds, 6 reps. Now note, you could probably do more than 6, but you don't. You control it. The workout after that, you do 7 reps. The next workout, you again do 7 reps. And so again, you're building from 6 reps to 12 reps, but you're taking 2 workouts at each rep count. So you're slowing the progression down, but Hoffman was adamant that for many people, the slower progression was actually a lot better. It built a stronger internal system, it strengthened your glandular processes, and it revved up those metabolic processes. Very interesting concept. And it's completely different than what, you know, it's counterintuitive. It's completely different than what most people think or assume to be the case. It's different than, you know, what your emotions tell you to do, because your emotions tell you to pile on the weight and do as much as you can and do as many reps as you can and so on. And actually what works better is a gradual, systematic, progressive, controlled, prescribed, to get back to your word prescription, method of affecting progress.
And I'll tell you something that we're not even discussing here, and we're going to now.
What is that?
The central nervous system loves success. Pushing into, quite often, part of the reason that guys were only able to bench 800 pounds back in the day and today they're benching 1,000 is that somebody had to get there first in order to instill in somebody else the possibility, the real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The mind has a great, plays a great role in strength output. And this is the long way around the horn, but I want to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of time in 2004 that I was training with a powerlifter's mentality, and I was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I remember consistently leaving the gym feeling exhilarated and feeling like King Kong. Make no bones about it, I trained very hard. However, those were the days that I was following a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the gym on those days, and I had to add just one rep to this movement, or maybe 2.5 pounds to that movement, and I was very, very liberal the way I didn't say, oh, every movement must progress. Sometimes it was the on my back day, maybe my deadlift was going to progress by a certain number of pounds or a one rep. Or maybe my deadlift would stay the same and I would use some of my auxiliary work to follow my progression. So I was, it was like there was a line with 7 dots and one dot would move up and the other ones would stay. Then the other dots would move up and slowly. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, the whole line has progressed. Okay. And I did this instinctively. I trained this way. And those were the days that when I left the gym, I felt exhilarated by my workout, not smashed into the ground. Now, fast forward, because I kept getting stronger and stronger, to 2005, when I abandoned my last training diary is from 2005. I abandoned my training diary. I started to quote unquote freestyle. I told people I'm going to go into freestyle today. I'm just going to go into, and I would not write down how many reps to do. I thought to myself, you know what? Why limit my workout by a predetermined number of reps? I'm just going to see how many I can do of each of these movements. And that is when I totally destroyed myself. 2005 is when I got sick.
I
totally hammered myself into the ground. So come back to what I'm doing now. I am treading on new ground with familiarity right now. These 3-day entire body workouts, I promise you, I'm training with other people a couple days, and I am moving plenty of weight in a specific period of time. However, I write my training plan out before I get to the gym, and I stick to it. And this morning when I left the gym after my 3rd day of grueling training, I felt that feeling again, like King Kong. I felt like, wow, this was a great training session. You know why, Brooks? It dawned on me during the last commercial, because I am achieving realistic training goals. And those realistic training goals, the sense of achievement is what I feel when I leave the gym. It invigorates you. It propels you. It makes you stronger. The fact that you did what you said you were going to do.
Absolutely. And you're showing, you're describing one of the many aspects of the mind-muscle link that I always talk about. And what you're specifically describing is a feedback mechanism, a loop, where your mind controls what you go in and do in the workout with the goal of achieving success, of making that incremental amount of progress that you have decided to make, that you have prescribed for yourself. So your mind is in charge. The body goes and does what the mind programs it to do or prescribes for it. The body succeeds. The mind then responds by feeling good. You have achieved something. You feel good about yourself.
Right.
And so now you're even more enthusiastic than before. You say, okay, I'm going to do it again.
And I'm enthusiastic about the next workout. And I'm already thinking, oh, you know, I'm off for 3 days. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to do some light cardio. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't wait to get back into the gym,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4 days from now. And take it to the next, and I feel confident I'll be able to get that next rep already because I felt like I could do it today. But
yeah,
I didn't.
And right. And here's the critical point, and this again is where a lot of people go wrong. You feel so good. You feel so strong. I mean,
you go in tomorrow.
Well, you go in tomorrow, or what you do is you go in and let's say your progression calls for increasing a particular exercise by one rep or by 5 pounds. Go in and you say, you know what? I'm going to I'm feeling really strong, and I've had 3 days off, and last week was great. I'm gonna put 20 pounds on there. Or you say, you know, I'm not gonna add one more rep, I'm gonna add five. I know I can do it. It's leg presses, I can do that. I may need to pause, you know, I may need to do a little bit of rest pause on the last couple, but you know what, I can get them, I know I can do it. Well, okay, now you're using your enthusiasm to take you into a dangerous place.
Right, and once you do that,
yeah,
then the next workout and the workout after are affected from that. As long as you stay a couple steps back behind the fatigue threshold, you will continue to get stronger. What does it matter to you if you add that extra rep tomorrow or 3 days from tomorrow? You're still going to add it. And if you do it 3 days from tomorrow, you're going to have more gas in the tank to continue. The key is to be able to continue to progress at the same rate ongoing. The way to do that is not to completely spend yourself every single workout.
Yeah, if you go out and you do an absolute maximum everything that you have, you don't have anything left in reserve, and it is extremely difficult to bounce back from that. Particularly, let me be very candid. If you are 35 or 40 or older, you can overtrain very, very easily, and it's really hard to bounce back. I mean, you can put yourself in the hole not only for a couple of days, but for a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this very cerebral discussion with Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture. Go to Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk about his blog and his books. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRME and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocreme. Kinetocreme is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to
what one user said about Phoenix Kinetic Cream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I got to tell you something. I mean, people are asking me. I keep referring to an illness that I have right now. Brooks is aware of what's going on with me. The fact that I'm training as hard as I'm training right now completely flies in the face of what medical doctors would say that I should be doing. And I have to tell you that I am actually reversing a disorder. And this is genetic, folks. My mother and father both suffered from this. It doesn't mean that I have to get it. I understand what needs to be done to reverse it, and I am. And I appreciate all of the well wishes that I get from people on Facebook and emails that I've gotten, and I feel the love. I really, really do. But when this journey is over for me, I'm going to have a new story to tell. And I'm going to help a lot of people out there who are hobbled by a disorder that pretty much takes control of their lives. And it was scary in the beginning. I mean, I told you about it, right, Brooks? I would call you and say, man, I can't believe what happened to me. I was, you know, doing power squats today and my heart rate dropped and I felt like I was going to pass out, hit the floor. And I mean, this is nothing short. It's not a miracle. It's nothing short of an example of with the right impetus and the right controls that you can reverse any disease that your body has, any disease. And I'm so much more a believer of that now than even before.
So you've been on a really difficult journey with this, and you are now making, you know, incredible progress. And as you said, you know, a medical doctor would look at what you're doing and just be like, that's impossible, but you're doing it. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I will reveal. I have to be careful how I reveal it right now. Yeah. I have to go slow. You know. But anyway, all right. So getting back to the common theme here, folks, is this of what we're talking about. The common theme is this: you don't go into the gym and lift as heavy as you can lift, contrary to what bodybuilding magazines may tell you, and blah blah blah. Real athletes like you. You look at Coach Wade Johnson. Brooks, have you had an opportunity to see any of Wade's videos on YouTube or on Facebook?
I've seen a couple of them. They're very impressive.
You know, Coach Johnson goes in, he says, okay, today, he works from a prescription. He says, today, I'm gonna open with, a warm up, one rep 505 and, you know, 565 and my last one is gonna be 865. And that's what he does. He doesn't go, wow, 865 was easy. Let me go ahead and throw 900 on there and just, no, he sticks with the prescription. And this is the mistake so many of us make. If you're walking into the gym to train without a clearly detailed method of sensible and healthy progression, you should then turn around and walk and go home. If you're just going into the gym and willy-nilly, I'm just going to push until I can't push anymore, you're not doing anything good for yourself. And you know, there's an old saying, if it can't be measured, it can't be managed. If you were working with a personal trainer, he would know what you're going to do today. Oh, let's see. Last week you did 125 for 10 reps. This week we're going to go up 5 pounds. You're going to do 130 for 7 reps. Bring you back down. Just like shifting a car. When you throw it into the next gear, it dropped the revolutions of the engine drop down and slowly pick up. You don't go in and go, oh, I did 125 for 10 reps last week. I'm going to do 135 for 10 reps this week. No, that's not how you do it. That is not a sensible approach to progression. And if that's what you're doing and you're not progressing, that's why.
And you know, as we've been saying, there are so many guys that ought to know about this. I mean, it just astonishes me that people don't. But there are so many guys who just go in and they do whatever. They, you know, they walk in and they look around and say, gee, what should I do today? Boy, I'm, you know, that gets you nowhere. And the other thing that, you know, as you said, gets you nowhere is going in and trying to do it all in one workout, in the sense of, you know, you're going to do one workout, you're going to train so hard, so heavy, so intense, so ferocious, so fast, so furious, that, you know, you're going to be Mr. Whatever, or a powerlifting champion, or a strongman champion, or a weightlifting champion, or whatever. You can do it all in one workout. And people always try to do that, and it always fails. Just as it fails to say, you know, I'm going to put 100 pounds on my desk in, you know, 1 month or 3 months or any other, you know, ridiculously short period of time. There's a reason why they call crash programs crash programs.
Because you crash?
And burn. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously. Tommy Kono had a very interesting observation. Tommy Kono has said in his books that, and for those who don't know, Tommy Kono, two-time Olympic gold medalist in weightlifting and four-time Mr. Universe winner. How about that? How about that? I mean, no one else in history has ever done that or ever will.
So, in other words, but bodybuilding and strength, all in
one
package.
Yeah, total package. Tommy Kono has said, after a good workout, a really good workout, the next one is going to be not as good. And you need to be ready for that. You need to program for it. He liked to use a light, heavy, medium system to get around that problem. And another thing that he would say is, let's say you've made a new PR, front squats. He was an Olympic weightlifter, so we use front squats as an example. He does a new PR for 3 reps in the front squat, okay? Well, the next workout, when he does front squats again, he's not going to try to improve on that because it's already a personal record.
Right.
And he's going to hold back. He's going to resist the temptation to say, man, you know, I got a PR last time and I feel so strong. I can get even more this time. He would say, no, I'm going to control it. And another thing he would say is if you hit a PR, don't then add weight and try to hit a new PR. Instead, repeat the lift that you just made, the successful lift, the new PR, in order to really establish it, to demonstrate to yourself
that it wasn't an accident.
It wasn't an accident, yeah, to demonstrate that you have mastered it. But the other thing, of course, is that when you do that, you are controlling the progression and you're using an intelligent training prescription, which in Tommy Kono's case was, you know, 2 Olympic gold medals and 4 Mr. Universe titles and
Is Tommy Kono still alive? It looks like he's still alive.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you interview him for any of your books?
Yes.
Looks like he's healthy too.
He's in really good shape. He doesn't do Olympic weightlifting anymore.
No.
I mean, he's in his 80s.
Right.
But he's strong, healthy, fit. I've talked to him on the phone many times. He's very sharp. He is so sharp. I've got these funky old newsletters from the early 1950s.
Right.
Little 2-page mimeographed things. And they were done by a man who was hanging around a gym in Oakland, California. Okay. And a lot of weightlifters would go there if they were in town. And that was the place that Tommy Kono trained. He was from Sacramento. And when he was in the military, his military base was close to Ed Yerrick's gym in Oakland, and so he would train there on weekends if he was able to get a pass and get away. So, anyhow, there's this guy, Chester Teagarden, who did this tiny little newsletter, and he would talk about weightlifting contests or workouts that someone did at the gym or something. And he would talk about he and Tommy Kona would get in the car and go somewhere and you know, do something, or he, you know, Tommy would be at a meet and so happened. And so I had these very rare, very obscure, very hard to find old newsletters, okay? And they date back to like 1952, 53, 54. And I was talking to Tommy, and I asked him about something that had been described in one of these newsletters. And Tommy immediately said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, da, 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 that was, you know, yeah, you know, and he started.
His recall was there.
His recall was not only right there, he starts telling the story, and it's, he says, and he said to me, and then I said to him, and it was exactly what was reported in the newsletter. I mean, he had like a photographic memory of, in this case, it was a California State weightlifting championship from like 52 or 53.
Wow.
Or no, I think it was 51. It was 51 or 52. And, I mean, he's that sharp on everything. Real, real interesting. He was a teammate of John Davis, and when I wrote my book on John Davis, I interviewed Tommy and got some really good information from him. And, you know, got great information from him about, you know, all of the older champions. I mean, he knew them all. He was always hanging around York, Pennsylvania, and, you know, working out at the York gym, and basically was sort of an honorary citizen of York. They did a mural in York. And it was on the side of a building, and they have John Grimmick in that famous pose where he's leaning back against the little Greek pedestal, and he's got his, you know, the one arm extended and the other arm up in a biceps pose. And the other person that they put on the mural, in addition to Bob Hoffman, was Tommy Kona, lifting weights. Even though he never was a citizen of York, but he was there so much training that they decided to do that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about your current blogs and books and what you're working on. I have to mention,
okay,
and I keep forgetting to do this, there's a new poll on superhumanradio.com. Dr. Connolly and Vince Andrich are considering bringing back the original Body RX show, which started here on the Superhuman Radio Network, which will take listener questions and answer them by Dr. Connolly and talk about things pertinent to building muscle, burning fat. And we are trying to convince Dr. Connolly and Vince Andrich that the audience still remembers the Body RX show. There's a poll on Superhuman Radio. It says, do you want the Body RX show to return to the Superhuman Radio Network? I'd appreciate it if you go vote. And you can vote often. Vote as frequently as you'd like to. We want to get the message to Dr. C that what he has to talk about here, which was different than what he did over at Muscle University, is still wanted by the audience. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap it up. We're talking with Brooks Kubik, as you can see, who still communes with the fathers of physical culture, people like Tommy Kono. Brooks Kubik is the real McCoy, not a Hatfield. When it comes to keeping the flame of physical culture alive, visit Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back with more. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to
superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Brooks Kubik. Just to summarize, make sure you write your prescription before you get to the gym and follow it to the T, like a doctor wrote it for you. That is the answer for your success. Make your decisions on progression when you're not at the gym, when your emotions are not in it, and use the previous workouts as the basis for sensible progression. Would you want to wrap up on that or agree, make a statement on that?
Well, I agree with everything you said, and what I would add to it is make haste slowly. You will do so much better if you work out a progression system that is slow, steady, but lasts a long, long time.
Okay. What are you working on nowadays, Brooks? I know that you're always reading magazines from the past eras of physical culture and writing articles and books and so on. What are you working on right now?
Well, we have a new book coming out. It's Dinosaur Dumbbell Training. And what we've been doing is running a pre-publication special, which is what we always do with a new book. We're still running the pre-publication special, but the book ought to be ready to ship. I had been hoping to get it out the door at the end of August. It's probably going to be early September, but it's going to come out. It's going to be 8.5 by 11, a lot of photos, a lot of pages, and it's going to be on dinosaur-style dumbbell training, which means a lot of really interesting old-school dumbbell exercises, dumbbell swings, snatches, variations of those, dumbbell cleans, dumbbell presses, dumbbell push presses, jerks, in addition to a lot of pulling exercises, leg exercises, because if you think about it and you use your head, there are ways you can work your legs and hips very effectively with dumbbells. And, you know, I've got a whole list of exercises, over 100 different exercises, tons of photos. I did all the photos myself out in the garage. A lot of real good energy on that. So that's coming out, and as I said, we're in the pre-publication special, Anyone who reserves a copy during the pre-publication special gets a bonus when we fill the orders. That's the reward for signing up early. So that's coming out, and that's really interesting. The other thing that I'm working on is a project that is near and dear, something that a lot of people have been wanting and something that I've been very, very interested in and really focused on for a while, and that is a book on diet and nutrition for strength training. Diet and nutrition for strength training, muscle building, physical fitness, longevity, health, you know, all the good stuff. And it's going to have a blend of old school physical culture and modern research. Going to be very interesting, and I'm working really hard on getting that out the door as soon as I can. So people should, go to the Dinosaur Training website often, take a look on the Dinosaur Training blog for information about what's new. Find me on Facebook. You can stay up to date on Facebook. And the most important thing is probably go to the Dinosaur Training website. That's brookskubik.com, brookskubik.com, and sign up for the daily email tips. Sometimes I do one a day, sometimes two a day, but that's the way to stay up to date with what we're doing and to get tons of very valuable training tips. So that's what I've been up to, and that's what I hope
Can you tell people what the gift is that they get when they buy the pre-release of the book? Or does it change? Does it vary?
It changes. It always varies. Usually, it's an 8.5 by 11 color photo of some sort. Basically a mini poster, something to put on the gym wall. And, you know, if guys have been doing this from day one with all my different books, I mean, I've got 12 to 15 different books and courses right now. And some people have ordered all of them, and they've got, you know, a whole bunch of bonuses on the wall, and it gives your home gym or your library or your study or, you know, just anywhere that you want to spruce up a bit, it gives it a, you know, really nice look. That may not be this particular bonus, but, you know, then again, it may be. Got some great photos. You know, you saw the one where I was doing a weight that exceeded the world record in my weight class and age group in a one-hand snatch.
Right.
And that's a pretty good photo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You're on your toes. I think you called that full extension, right?
Yes, full extension, and triple extension.
You're on your toes on that one. Listen, Brooks, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope that people – I know that this was like an hour – a long drone on why it's important to write down your workout before you get to the gym and use sensible increments of progression. But I can promise you that if you employ this, I saw an old friend today because of this. I walked out of the gym today feeling fantastic, great. I had that sense of I'm King Kong again. I haven't had that in a long time. I forgot how to get it. It just requires that you stick to your plan and use sensible increments of progression. That's all it is, and you'll feel great. Brooks, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Okay. And then also I want to thank, isn't that a shame, Carrie Gillen O'Neill from UCLA Department of Psychology for talking to us about the importance of not letting your kids stay up late and studying, because it actually will cause them to do worse in school than better. Let them get to sleep on time. Cut out the extracurricular activities instead. Let them come home early and study. That's the takeaway from that message. See you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio, and thank you as always for listening.
spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.